The Bible study on KFUO Radio is underwritten by Concordia Seminary, St. Louis, centered in the gospel of Jesus Christ in faithfulness, servanthood, responsiveness, and excellence, Concordia Seminary.
Good morning. Welcome back. This is the second hour of the Bible study. It's the Ask the Pastor Hour here on KFUO Radio. KFUO Radio is a broadcast ministry of the Lutheran Church, Missouri Synod. I'm Roland Lettner. Thank you for joining us. Thank you for sticking around if you were here for the conclusion of Hebrews chapter 11 in the previous hour of the program. This is a great day because every time this guest comes in, I always get several emails talking about how wonderful it is to hear him and what kind of a vibrant and enthusiastic spirit he has for Christ, and he expresses that so just wonderfully. It's Dr. John Loam. Reverend Dr. John Loam joins us. He is the director of the Ethnic Immigrant Studies group here at Concordia Seminary, St. Louis. Good morning. It is such a delight to see you again.
It is, my brother. Thank you for inviting me again, and this is the Lord's Day.
Tell me about what you do here at the seminary.
Basically, we thank God for the ethnic immigrants in this country. What we do here really is to educate them, give them a solid Lutheran theology, and so we train them within the confine of theological studies and get them equipped, ready for the work in the church.
Now, you're from Ghana, right?
No, Gambia.
Gambia, I'm sorry.
Same region.
You took a trip to Ghana last time we saw each other.
Yeah, in fact, a few weeks ago, 3 weeks ago, I came back from the Gambia.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And you come to the United States when? You've been here how long?
I've been here, well, I came in 1993 from Sierra Leone as a consequence of the war, the civil war in Sierra Leone.
And you I just want you to recount this because this may be the first time some listeners are hearing you, mm-hmm. because normally we've spent time together in the afternoon talking to that group of listeners. But mm-hmm. you were not born a Christian. You were born a Muslim.
Yes.
And you came to faith in Christ how?
I came to faith in Christ through a Christian missionary, a British missionary, was based in Nigeria. And was visiting the Gambia, and his purpose in the Gambia at that time was to have a dialogue seminar with Christians and Muslims. And on to this day, well, now I can tell why I attended his seminar, but it was at that seminar that I came to know Jesus and to love him and to give my life to Jesus.
Now, the ethnic immigrant studies that you conduct here at Concordia Seminary, you've got 40 students from where, primarily?
Well, basically, they are from all over the world. They are Africans, Hmong, and Asians, and we also have deaconess students as well.
Now, did they come here to do ministry, you know, to become citizens of the United States, or are you training them to go back to their homeland and do ministry there?
Well, the world is becoming much smaller, and we are blessed in this country. This is a very good country, and some of them come as refugees, others come as by choice, but they come here, they are citizens already of this country, and somehow they get interested in our church, the Lutheran Church, Missouri Synod. In fact, one of the reasons most of them come to join our church is because we have the profound theology. That's a big attraction. And so once they become Lutheran and they show some interest in the church and to become ministers of the gospel, then through their districts, they are enrolled into our program here and they get a fantastic theological training from our faculty here at the seminary.
Now, this was always a fun point because it's interesting to compare the differences. When you first came to this country and you experienced your first winter here in St. Louis, any regrets that you came?
No. It was in St. Louis. In fact, I was dumped. I came via New York. into Hartford, Connecticut, and I was welcomed with 15 inches snow. And that was amazing. And but I came to love the snow. It's still a puzzle to me, but it's God's gift.
Now, what I've done today, we've had a number of different conversations. We've talked about the five pillars of Islam and different things. And you do a very good job of explaining from the scriptures the distinctions between Islam and Christianity. But I found someone on the web who is sort of the Islamic version of Dr. Loam. He's an apologist for Islam, and he takes Christianity on directly, saying things like, Jesus was not God, Jesus was a messenger like Muhammad, the Holy Spirit didn't point, it was not part of the Trinity, but the Holy Spirit, the references actually were Muhammad, not some other feature of God. And I thought I might play a couple of bits of audio for you, and then you could respond to them, and just be curious to see what you think about how he approaches what he does and how you'd answer. You ready?
Yeah.
All right. The very first one I've got, this fellow's name is Zakir Naik, Dr. Zakir Naik. There's a program that's very popular on YouTube called The Dean Show, which is a Muslim apologetic show. It's an American convert to Islam who hosts this program. And he specializes in finding other Americans who were previously Christians who've converted to Islam and talking about these things. And he's going to speak first about what the meaning of Islam is. Here it is.
Let us understand what is the meaning of the word Islam. Islam comes from the root Arabic word salam, which means peace. It is also derived from the Arabic word silm, which means to submit your will to Almighty God. In short, Islam means peace acquired by submitting your will to Almighty God. And this word Islam occurs in several places in the Quran and the Sahih Hadith, including in the Quran in Surah Al-Imran, chapter number 3, verse number 19, and Surah Al-Imran, chapter number 3, verse number 85. Any person who acquires peace by submitting his will to Almighty God, to Allah, he is called as a Muslim. And this word Muslim also occurs in several places in the Quran and the Sahih Hadith. Many people have a misconception that Islam is a new religion which came into existence 1400 years ago. And Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, was the founder of this religion. In fact, Islam is there since time immemorial, since man set foot on the earth. And Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, is not the founder of this religion, but he is the last and final messenger sent by Almighty God, the last and final prophet.
What do you make of that?
Well, of course, it's coming from a Muslim point of view, and it is by definition that Islam means submission, submitting to the will of God. These are all things that are known because it's defined by the by Muslims. Well, Islam, as-salama, that's the root word. It means submitting oneself to the will of God. That's true. I take not quite a correct view, I take an opposite view, that Islam often is defined as peace. Well, in fact, it's meant originally as a greeting, as-salamu alaykum, wa alaykum as-salam. I give you peace, I submit peace, and the word wa, which is the word in Arabic for and I also give you my peace. So that's the origin. We've seen that Islam has grown from the Middle East to different parts of the world, so it takes different color of definition and interpretation. So submitting, yes, you can submit, but who knows what you submit to? And then, of course, the actual definition of Islam, to an extent, yes, you submit to the will of God, but one cannot determine what that will is. So it's often very difficult, really, to get an accurate perception of what that will is.
One thing he said was that Islam has been there since man first set foot on the earth.
Well, we know that there's a time when, in fact, in the 7th century, with the coming of Muhammad, at least that's when we know Islam began. So to say that Islam has always been around, I am not sure that's very accurate.
505-7850, 1-800-730-2727. You can also reach us by way of email at kfuo@kfuo.org. Dr. Loma, you ready to go to the phones?
Yeah.
We already have callers coming in for you here. Let's go straight to, well, it's going to take just a second longer here as they get her up on the board. I guess maybe what this fellow is saying is that, well, is he claiming that perhaps the Old Testament and the New Testament attest to Islam and Muhammad when he says that Islam has been around since man first set foot on the earth?
Well, there's no way, there's nowhere Muhammad is mentioned in the New and Old Testament, and we know that there is a 500 years gap between Islam and Christianity, so I don't buy that concept at all.
Now we're ready for the phones. Are you, Dr. Loam? Here we go. All right. Jan, good morning. Jan is in Atlanta. Dr. Loam, good friend of the program, calls frequently. How are you doing, Jan?
Hi, I'm good, Roland. Hi, Dr. Loam. My question has to do with what is the opposite of adiaphora? And this came up with a discussion that one of my Baptist friends and I were having. And it's with respect to the Trinity. My question, if you have a Bible handy, if you could look at 2 Corinthians 3, verse 6, and verses 17 and following.
All right. I'm laboring with my 600-pound large print Lutheran study Bible.
Yes.
All right. Okay. If you've got those in front of you, go ahead and read them, Jen.
Okay. 2 Corinthians 3, verse 6. Who has made God, who has made us competent to be ministers of a new covenant, not of the letter, but of the Spirit. For the letter kills, but the Spirit gives life. And then verse 17 says, now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. And we all, with unveiled face, beholding the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from one degree of glory to another. For this comes from the Lord, who is the Spirit. Now, my understanding of adiaphora is, for example, nowhere in Scripture are we told what color our church's carpet needs to be. That, to my mind, is not what the Trinity is. And my co-worker's problem with that was the nowhere in Scripture is Yahweh referred to as the Trinity. But, you know, in Genesis 1, in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters, and God said. So in the first three verses of Genesis, we have the Trinity.
Mm-hmm.
So can you help me with that? And this is just an aside, but Isaiah 43, you are my witnesses. Declares the Lord, and my servant whom I have chosen, that you may know and believe me and understand that I am he. Before me no God was formed, nor shall there be any after me. So we can meditate on that.
Well, you are absolutely correct that there is abundance references indicating that the Holy Spirit and the Trinity is highlighted. in the scripture, and that's my belief, and I you are accurately correct, and you've made several references which I agree to, that the Holy Spirit and the Trinity is absolutely mentioned in the Bible. So I agree with you. I think your Baptist friends needs to understand his scripture more.
Yeah, and I think that this 2 Corinthians 3 passage makes it clear that we need to argue from God's word, that it's God who lifts that veil that we all have over our hearts when we hear that word. And so, thank you. I love your accent. It's so cool.
Jan, like I said, I always get several emails after Dr. Loam's on the program. They just love his exuberance and spirit.
I'm first and foremost a pastor, and I love to be called a pastor. And I thank you, Jan, and keep the spirit. You indeed know your scripture, and tell it on. And you are my friend, and I love people who talks about Jesus and the Spirit. Indeed, the Bible is saturated with the Trinity, and of course, God has given us that Spirit that we might testify of Him to the entire world.
Yeah. This is from our previous hour's discussion. You were saying something, Roland, about the paradox of faith, where it empowers and it enlivens us on the one hand, but then there are instances where that faith kills us. I think there's a slight nuance that we need to consider, and that is the difference between the faith that believes and the faith that is believed. I think the difference between faith and doctrine about faith.
Well, Jan, you are a theologian. I'd like you to enroll in my program. Come down to St. Louis.
Well, I have stuff on my desk, so I think I'll stay here and try and serve him where I am.
Well, keep praying for us, and we are together in the mission of God, and you are absolutely correct again in your analysis. Thank you.
Thank you, Jan. Have a great day.
You too.
All right. Yeah, and I'm glad Jan called, because this goes to the heart of why I put these little audio clips together, because this is a primary point of attack of a Muslim apologist, that Jesus, a man, could not be God. God could not be a man. The Trinity does not exist. Nowhere in Scripture can you find it. We've got a few minutes here. Let me play you another one of these little clips and see how you'd respond. This is about, he says that the Creator does not need to become man to understand him. Mm-hmm. Otherwise, he's not the Creator. Listen to this.
We want to give the top reasons why the Creator of the heavens and the earth, God Almighty, in Arabic we say Allah, is not a man, never was a man, never tried to be a man.
If we analyze all the major religions of the world, except for Islam, all the other major religions of the world, they believe that Almighty God became a human being once or more number of times.
Yes.
All the major religions except Islam, they believe that Almighty God either once or many times became a human being. And they believe in a philosophy known as anthropomorphism.
Uh-huh.
Anthropomorphism means that Almighty God taking forms, and he becomes a human being. And when we ask them that, why does Almighty God have to become a human being? So they say that Almighty God, He's so holy, He's so pure, He's so noble. He does not know the shortcomings of the human beings.
Mm-hmm.
He does not know how does a human being feel when he's hurt, when he's angry, when he requires certain things. He doesn't know the requirements of the human being, how do they feel, etc. That's the reason Almighty God came into this world and became a human being to know what is good or what is bad for the human being.
Mm-hmm.
On the face of it, it sounds to be good.
Yeah.
But I tell them that suppose I happen to manufacture a DVD player.
Yeah.
I create a DVD player. Now, because I'm a manufacturer of a DVD player, do I have to become a DVD player to know what is good or what is bad for the DVD player?
Obviously.
Because I'm the manufacturer,
yeah,
I'm the creator, I don't have to become a DVD player. What do? I write an instruction manual.
Exactly.
That if you want to play the DVD, insert the DVD and press the play button.
Yes.
If you want to skip, press the skip button. If you want to stop, press the stop button. I don't have to become a DVD player to know what is good or what is bad for the DVD player. Because I'm the creator. Similarly, Almighty God, He is the creator of the human being. So He does not have to become a human being to know what is good or bad for the human being.
Well, this guy, I think, is doesn't know his Islamic history or theology. I would direct him to Al-Ghazali in the 12th century. And in fact, there's a lot in Islam and Islamic theology that use exactly the anthropomorphic images. There are 99 names of God. God has eyes, He has hands, and even God sits on the throne. So what is He talking about? So He doesn't know His Islam at all. And this is why people need to be careful about who they listen to, because we have a lot of misguided people in our world and in the world of religion too. So yes, God is powerful, and that's usually the call to prayer. The muezzin would announce Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, God is great. And if God is great, then God is powerful, and God can do anything He wants to. There is no limit with God. But for me, as a Christian, I believe in the incarnational concept and doctrine of God. We do not believe in the distant God. The Islamic God is a kind of absentee God. He creates and He leaves the world. Now, that doesn't make sense to me. What makes sense to me and more credible is the God who creates, He dwells, He manifests Himself in our world and is interested in our being, what we do. And I believe in the God that redeems and takes care of my sin. That is the God that is more sensible to me rather than the absentee God.
It seems some Muslims are very offended at the idea that God could become man, this fellow being one of them. I should also point out that this Dr. Naik has a satellite-based television program that plays throughout the Muslim world. He's the most popular television host with a theological program in places like Indonesia and Africa and places like that, where they can receive this satellite broadcast.
Mm.
So he has hundreds of thousands of viewers who watch this and believe this.
I of course, that's one thing I've missed out. But of course, I don't need to listen to these kind of people who really have phony ideas and misguided ideas too. So we need to correct this kind of misconception. Now, Christians need to listen to people like Roland, myself, and others who have... I mean, I've spent my entire life existence in studying the Quran, Islam, and I've had enormous experience of speaking, talking about Islam and the relationship between Muslims and Christians, and how we could, by the grace of God and the power of the Holy Spirit, announce and bring Muslims to faith in Christ Jesus. We are the people one needs to listen to, not to these kinds of guys who go on misleading people.
The point that you make, Dr. Lohm, is an excellent point. Some of the other clips that I'll play in just a moment, this fellow knows his scriptures. He quotes scripture better than I would think most seminary professors could.
Yeah, but Lurul, and quoting scripture is not all in all. I mean, people quote scriptures and sometimes they give misguided interpretation, and that's exactly what this guy is doing. He quotes scripture, but he's giving wrong interpretation and misleading.
Hmm. Who does that remind you of?
Well, a lot.
That is the Reverend Dr. John Lohm, pastor. John Lohm, I want to give you such respect. It's hard to just say pastor, but Pastor John Lohm, our guest in the hour known as Ask the Pastor here on the Bible Study. Join us, 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727, KFUO at KFUO.org. We have a few more clips to go, but you can call in about anything. We'll be back after this break.
Dr. C.F.W. Walther once told his seminary students, "I wish to talk the Christian doctrine into your very heart, enabling you to come forward as living witnesses with a demonstration of the Spirit and of power. I do not want you to be standing in your pulpits like lifeless statues, but to speak with confidence and cheerful courage." Today, Concordia Seminary still strives to do just that.
This is Life Issues with Brad Mattis, Executive Director of Life Issues Institute.
Planned Parenthood downplays their pro-abortion agenda because they know most Americans oppose abortion. But they can't hide that 91% of all pregnant women who go into Planned Parenthood facilities get abortions. They do only one adoption referral for about every 400 abortions. Does this sound like women are getting unbiased information on their options for unexpected pregnancy? Research shows most Planned Parenthood abortion mills are in black and minority neighborhoods. International Planned Parenthood released a new strategic plan. They want to increase abortions in Africa by 82% in the next few years. Clearly, they don't want poor black people reproducing. Planned Parenthood's strategy is all about eugenics, and it's time to end their tax funding.
Check out Life Issues on Facebook and stay more informed than you've ever been.
Humanitree is dedicated to mothers and children affected by poverty, homelessness, incarceration, and single parenthood. These families need Humanitree, and Humanitree needs you. We'll accept your donated baby clothes, furniture, furnishings, a family project, painting a bedroom, or cleaning the yard for a poor working mom. Chaplains can come to your church, celebrate the liturgy, and have Bible study. For these and other ways that you can learn about Humanitree and how we can help others, call 314-772-7720. Thank you, and God bless you.
When Christians hear the Word of God and receive His gifts of baptism and the Lord's Supper in the midst of the daily grind of this life, it is more than merely a glimpse of heaven given in a moment of time. It is the completed work of Jesus Christ Himself being poured into our lives.
Pastor Gregory Seltz, this week on The Lutheran Hour.
Sundays at 12:30 and 5 p.m. on KFUO Radio.
How would you like to enhance your legacy to your family and continue your legacy supporting God's mission through KFUO with a planned gift? A planned gift will enable you to increase your annual income, eliminate capital gains tax on assets, and receive a significant tax deduction. You can even list KFUO as a designated beneficiary of your life insurance policy or IRA. Call today, ask for Joni, and explore all the benefits of planned giving to KFUO.
The wives of two Chinese human rights activists have told Congress about their husbands' imprisonment and torture. The women appealed for U.S. advocacy on their husbands' behalf as China's Vice President Xi Jinping visited President Barack Obama and other top officials in Washington. Congressman Chris Smith said,
"I hope that Xi Jinping is listening to this appeal from two wives for your individual husbands, but also all the other left-behind family members on behalf of the tens of thousands of political prisoners and religious prisoners in China."
The Reverend Bob Fu noted the ongoing persecution of the unregistered Shouwang Church in China.
"Every Sunday in the capital city of Beijing, there are arrests of this, from 20 to over 100 members of this church were arrested for simply going outdoor for worship."
At the State Department, China's vice president defended his country's record, but said through a translator,
"There is always room for improvement."
I'm Steve Coleman.
Good morning. Welcome back. This is the Ask the Pastor Hour of the Bible Study here on listener-supported KFUO Radio. Our guest this morning is the Reverend Dr. Pastor John Loam, who serves as the director of the Ethnic Immigrant Institute here on the campus of Concordia Seminary, St. Louis. I should also mention that it is Concordia Seminary, St. Louis, that underwrites the Bible Study and the Ask the Pastor Hour, and we always want to express our gratitude for that. So it's always our pleasure to host you, Dr. Loam. Thanks again for coming in. Tell you what, let's go right back to the phones. I have some other audio clips that we'll get to, but very special caller here, Pastor Nabil Noor, would like to join the conversation, has some comments about what we've been discussing. Good morning, my good friend. How are you?
Glorious morning to both of you. I am so good. If I was any better, I would be in heaven. I can't wait to get there.
Amen, brother.
Amen. I have two comments. First, in relation to Sister Jen, bless her for the question about the Trinity. Normally, I would teach it's not explicitly found in the Scripture, but it's always implied. She quoted Genesis 1:1, but we can go to Genesis 1:26, where the Lord says, "Let us," plural again, "God make a man in our image." So we have that. Then we have, of course, Isaiah chapter 6, Kadosh, 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 three times we have that. We have the Trinity mentioned, "Go ye therefore make disciples of all nations in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit." That is as explicit as you can find it. And of course, in John 10 verse 30, where Jesus says, "I and the Father are one." And then in John chapter 8, where they pick up stones to throw at him because, you know, he makes himself equal with God. So the Trinity is all over. The word itself is not in the Scripture, but there's plenty of Scripture to back up this comment.
And absolutely.
So there's plenty of work in there. Mm-hmm. And secondly, in relation to the Islamic bites that you guys have been given, the gentleman that spoke about, you know, Christianity and all of that, A, he may know the Scriptures, but so does the devil.
Yeah,
you know?
Absolutely.
I mean, that's that you have to understand, the devil will give you these wisdom. There is nowhere in the Scripture, either in the Old Testament or the New Testament, that speaks about Muhammad, although they do like to take away from our Scriptures, specifically when they talk about John chapter 14, and I don't have the surah in front of me where it talks about, they say, this Jesus actually spoke about the one who is to come, but Jesus was not talking about Muhammad, he was talking about the Holy Spirit.
Correct.
Okay, so you have plenty of things from the Scripture to show that our God is not aloof. He gets involved in the lives of his people. The God of the Muslim, the word Allah that is used there, and you know, they say God is great, Allahu Akbar. Literally, literally, it is Allah. God is greater. It's not just God is great. God is greater. And the reason Muhammad shows that is because he wanted to condescend the Christian God. Because if you, Doctor, and I'm sure you know this, when he began to do the supposedly this revelation that came from God through the Injil, through the
Angel Gabriel.
Injil Gabriel. I'm sorry, I spoke in Arabic there. But where he talks about Gabriel gave him these words, he began to go to the Jewish people and began to go to the Christians. And he wanted them to convert, but they would not, because there's always something missing. It's always about Muhammad. And even as you listen to him, as soon as I mention the name Muhammad, what do they say right after that?
Salam.
May peace be upon him.
Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
Right, right. They always want to exalt Muhammad to the highest being, which is truly idiotic. Because Muhammad was one of the worst people who have ever walked upon the face of the earth. And let's be candid here. He can't even hold a candle to Jesus Christ's mercy and compassion and grace. You know, so when you compare those two different religions, the prophet of Muhammad, the prophet Muhammad and his quote-unquote religion is primarily self-gratification for the man. Okay? Christianity, on the other hand, is revealing the love of Jesus, how it is to nurture and to care for your neighbor. And that is so contrary to anything that the Islamic religion teaches.
Well, brother, I cannot agree with you more, and you're absolutely correct. Well, I'm in the seminary campus. I wouldn't be that blunt, and I'm gracious. But you're right, absolutely. Everything you said, I concur to. But we also need to share the gospel with Muslims, and I think we need to bring them to a place of a space where they could be comfortable and not antagonistic, but that they could listen to us. So
I agree. Let me share this before I release you, and then I'll listen on the radio here. Mm-hmm. I travel quite a bit, and I lecture on the Islam, and I always do an introduction, who are the Muslims, mm-hmm. and then I have a Q&A about all sorts of questions that they may have, mm-hmm. but I always conclude, how do we witness mm-hmm. the mm-hmm. Islam?
Mm-hmm. To Muslims.
You know,
yeah.
and mm-hmm. that's the key point. Mm-hmm. How do we love them in mm-hmm. spite of mm-hmm. what they hold on to mm-hmm. because they just don't mm-hmm. know?
Yeah, absolutely. In fact, I was teaching a class last night, and we came to the uniqueness of the Christian faith, and the uniqueness we have is love, which Jesus Christ demonstrated so much. And
absolutely.
We have it in John's Gospel. So let's love them so that we can bring them to Christ. Because
that's
Christ,
the key. That
Christ
is.
And you know,
key.
I often read for them the Surat al Fatiha.
Oh, yeah, of course.
Ithna Surat al Mustaqim, Surat al Adin, and Amta Alehim. Show us the way. And Jesus comes up with a profound answer. I am the way, the truth, and the life.
Amen to that.
So that's it.
Let me conclude this. I use the acronym, and maybe you've used it also, when I teach also about Islam, I use the word Islam, ISLAM.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I don't take a credit to this because somebody else came up with this.
Mm-hmm.
I sincerely mm-hmm. love all Muslims.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm,
so
mm-hmm.
I try to teach that way. Mm-hmm. I may be strong in my words, but mm-hmm. I also want to be candid
yeah.
to show the truth, because
yeah.
I don't like to sugarcoat
anything. Oh, no, absolutely. If you meet me in person, then you'll realize the kind of person I am, the Christian I am. I just came back from my home country, 98% Islam, Muslim. My brother, whom I stayed with, I love him very much. He's still a Muslim. But I go down daily on my knees praying that he would find the light of Christ.
Keep praying, brother.
Yes.
If the Lord has caught you with his net of love, certainly there is room in God's heart and God's throne for the others, that they might also come to the knowledge of the Christ.
Thank you, brother, and keep me in your prayers
as we go on sharing
Christ. And we must win this country for Jesus.
Amen for that. God's blessings to both of you.
Thank you, Pastor. And good to hear from you. Let's stay with the phones. We've got a lot of callers that want to have questions for you. Anita, good morning. You're next.
Hello.
Go ahead.
Am I on?
You
am
certainly
on?
Are. You're on with Dr. Lohm. Go ahead.
Okay. Yes, Reverend Dr. Lohm, thank you for being on the show, because I have a question. Does the seminary have required classes for the students to take a study on Islam?
Oh, yes, we do. We do, yes.
Oh, you see, I was misinformed, and I was absolutely shocked when I heard that. So I'm so happy that the Lord directed me to listen to your program. Oh, I always do, Roland. I always listen to you.
Thank you.
But is it a required class, Reverend Dr.
Lohm? It is. I'm Pastor Lohm. It is required. In fact, we even also extend it to seminary wives. And I've been teaching seminary wives about Islam and Muslims and how to evangelize among Muslims. The last class was last night. And you can reach me through, Roland will give you my details. And I love to come round to your churches, Bible studies. In fact, I'm traveling this weekend to somewhere. I would not reveal where I'm going, but to speak about Islam and Muslims and how to reach out to the Muslims.
I will say one thing, Anita. If you invite Dr. Lohm to your church and he preaches, turn the sound system off. You will not need it.
Well, Pastor Lohm, I had the honor and privilege to attend the Sunday evening home Bible study that we've had for many years, and you were our guest there.
Oh.
And then we had the DVD at the Schmitz.
Oh, God bless your heart, sister. Yes, I remember you.
It's just absolutely wonderful. The Lutheran Hour Ministry Men's Network has a fantastic DVD on Islam. You just can't miss it.
Yes.
But so you do have it. See, now I have to correct this student.
Yes, yes. We do have.
There is no class.
We have class in Islam. In fact, we have class not only in Islam, but also in Buddhism and Hinduism, because these guys are coming to this country, and we need to know and understand what they believe so that we, in turn, can share the gospel of Christ and bring them to the knowledge and understanding of who Jesus is.
Exactly, Pastor Lohm. I couldn't believe my ears when I heard this, so our Lord directed us to get together this morning, and I shan't take any more of your time. But then, and are those classes within a regular student's requirements, or is this a separate class?
Like regular.
Okay.
Yeah.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
God bless you, sir. Thank you, ma'am.
Thank you, Anita. We appreciate the call. Let's see here. Let's go to Mike, and then Larry will be after Mike. Mike, good morning. You're on with Dr. Lohm.
Good morning. I was looking up in the New Lutheran Study Bible. On page 227 for Old Testament names for God, and in the beginning, God, it's the word Elohim, and it appears 2,550 times in the Bible. It's the most commonly used word for God, and it says it's a plural noun, but a singular verb, and I was looking up in other references that when it's in the plural form in Hebrew, it always signifies the number three. Would you guys have any comment on that? Or?
Well, I think I know where you're heading. And the Trinity is there mentioned, and absolutely. We've had the last caller also mention you find the Trinity and God all over in the Scriptures. So I would strongly advise that since you know these facts, you should tell it to your Muslim friends and neighbors. That's what we are charged to do.
Okay.
Thank you.
Sounds good. Well, thank you very much.
Yes.
Good call, Mike. Thank you. Let's go to Larry next. Larry, good morning. Good to hear from you again.
Good morning. Good morning again, Roland. The pastor, or is it professor?
Well, he prefers pastor, but I call him the Reverend Dr. John Lohm.
Okay. Good morning, sir. You know, in a recent study that I did, a comment was made where Scripture does not teach a plurality of gods, but a plurality in God. I think that's a good comment for the Christian understanding of the Trinity. And Pastor Knorr made reference to verses of Scripture that refer to the Trinity, and I'm looking at a Thompson Study Bible here. And 1 John 5:7, I think, is a very good depiction, for there are three that bear record in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost, and these three are one. And it's a perfect reference to the Trinity. But besides that, I wanted to ask you, Pastor, there's a verse in Surah 4 that says, "Then when the sacred months have passed, slay the idolaters wherever you find them, and take them captive, and besiege them, and prepare for them each ambush. But if they repent and establish worship and pay the poor due, then leave their way free. Lo, Allah is forgiving, merciful." My question is, in reference to that verse, doesn't our government officials do us a disservice when they tell us that this religion is a religion of peace?
Well, we all come to the understanding in different at different levels, and for me as a Christian, I know that peace is in Jesus Christ. That's where I find peace. And I know that Jesus is a Prince of Peace, And I hold strongly to that. Now, I don't listen to government interpretation. All I know that I believe my Jesus is a Jesus, is a Prince of Peace, and in fact, he's demonstrated peace. Now, I don't see or find peace in any other religion except in the Christian faith. That's how I will address. That's how I'll address that question.
Okay, fine.
Thanks for the call, Larry. Good hearing from you again. Let's continue with this. I told them that you're a popular guy. People love talking with you, Pastor Loam. Beverly, good morning. You're up next with Pastor Loam.
Good morning. Thank you for coming in, Pastor. And I apologize. I missed part of it, of what you were saying, because I had a phone call and I was interrupted. But thank you for coming in. I like to hear your voice, too. It's a beautiful accent. I am calling because I just wanted to point out that there is a place in the Bible where it says you are to study to show yourself approved.
Mm-hmm.
And in this day and age, we don't do it. If we want to learn about the Constitution, we'll sit down and we'll study, we'll pay money, we'll go to school, we'll spend hours and years. But if we want to know about God's Word, we won't take the time, you know, to study it. And when you're studying about the Bible, it's historical. It has a lot of historical references. And it's not just a book, you know, that you sit down and read, but we have archaeological finds that you should study. And then there's the oral and the written history, you know, and all of that, you know, combined. You have to take the time to study, otherwise you're going to be ill-informed. And I would just caution people to take more time to study what it is you believe and what religion you believe in, and not just pick up the Bible and say, okay, I see this right here, and this is, and I know this. You have to take the time to study.
Correct, I agree. Well, study to show thyself approved. We are being cautioned, and you speak like a Lutheran, so we need to study our scripture. In fact, daily read our scripture and be guided by the Holy Spirit. I cannot agree with you more. Thank you for that comment.
Have a good day, and thank you for coming in.
Yeah, thanks, man.
Thank you, Beverly. Good to hear from you. I do want to get to a little bit more of this audio because it's fascinating. Mm-hmm. Here's one more bit. This is how they claim that Jesus is not God. Listen to this.
Now tell us, now it's known commonly that people take one that is beloved to our hearts. We love him as one of the mightiest messengers of God. But many are claiming that he said he was God, that he's the Son of God. There's some confusion here. What do we have to say about this?
If they do agree that most of the Christians, they believe that Jesus Christ, peace be upon him, he claimed divinity. Many of the Christians believe that Jesus Christ, peace be upon him, he was God.
Yes.
But if you read the Bible, there is not a single unequivocal statement, not a single unambiguous statement in the complete Bible where Jesus Christ, peace be upon him, himself says that I am God, or where he says worship me.
Anywhere in the Bible.
If any Christian can point out a single unequivocal statement, a single unambiguous statement, where Jesus Christ, peace be upon him, himself says that I am God, or where he says worship me, I am ready to accept Christianity. In fact, if you read the Bible, it's mentioned in the Gospel of John, chapter number 14. Verse number 28. Mm-hmm. Jesus Christ, peace be upon him, said, my Father is greater than I. Gospel of John, chapter number 10, verse number 29. My Father is greater than all. Gospel of Matthew, chapter number 12, verse number 28. I cast out devil with the Spirit of God. Gospel of Luke, chapter number 11, verse number 20. I with the finger of God cast out devil. Gospel of John, chapter number 5, verse number 20. I can of my own self do nothing. As I hear, I judge, and my judgment is just. For I seek not my will, the will of Almighty God. It's mentioned in Gospel of John, chapter 5, verse 30, that not my will, but God's will. Anyone who says it's not my will but God's will is a Muslim. So Jesus Christ, peace be upon him, he was a Muslim.
You know, I mean, the more I listen to this guy, it just angers me.
Now you know why I wanted to put him on.
You know,
because I got angry also listening.
Yeah. In fact, I was talking about this last night to my seminary wise students, and trying to help them to understand where the Muslims are coming up with this argument about the divinity of Jesus. That is what is called in the Quran, Suratul Ikhlas, purity. Ikhlas means purity. Chapter 100, Suratul 112, Kul huwallahu ahad, Allahu samad, lam yalid, wa lam yulad, wa lam yakullahu kufuan ahad. Kul, say, God is one. He does not beget and he is not begotten. So that's where they get this whole erroneous idea about the divinity. Now, there is a historical context, and it may take us maybe 2-3 days for me to go into this.
Well, you have 3 minutes.
There is a historical context. You see, this was never meant to address or to object to the Christian divinity. This was historically put in place of the three gods, the Alat, Al-Huza, and Al-Manat. These were god and goddesses placed in a very Kaaba where Muslims go on pilgrimage. Again, this is just post-Islam. So that was the critique. That's in historical context of that verse, that chapter. Now today, modern Muslims have taken that to accuse Christians of the divinity. Now, we absolutely believe that Jesus is the Son of God, because the scripture, New Testament, says it. God himself, thou art my son. It's coming from God himself. And Jesus also say, I and the Father are one. So what is this guy talking about?
They claim one in purpose, not one in being.
But it is one in being. What's wrong with this guy? Jesus himself say, I and the Father are one. And he also claims the scripture, God himself says, thou art my son, my only begotten son. And there are references in the New Testament about the sonship of Jesus in the Bible. So we as Christians, that's why it is paramountly important that we need to study, know our scriptures, because God and Jesus are one. You see, Roland, this you said I have 3 minutes. I think
you now have one
minute. So all I can say to my educated Christians is that turn to your scripture, know your scripture. Jesus is one, Jesus is God, Jesus is the Son of God. It's all there in your scripture, in your Bible. So read your Bible, believe in it, and you will grow and go out to share Christ with the Muslims and the world all over.
The thing that really was, the very last thing he said there was that Jesus was a Muslim.
That's utter nonsense. I mean, 500 years gap between Muhammad and Jesus, and how could Jesus point men and women to God? He that has seen me has seen the Father. And Jesus says, in fact, when I'm lifted up, you all will come up with me. Believe in me, and thou and thy household. So paradise is in Jesus. Jesus, again I quote, is the way, the truth, and the life. That's why we Christians believe in Jesus, because he is the only way which God has placed in the world that we might know him.
Thanks be to God. That's the Reverend Dr. John Lohm. Pastor John Lohm serves here at Concordia Seminary St. Louis as the director of the Ethnic Immigrant Institute. If you'd like to find out more, why don't you go to the Concordia website at csl.edu. You can probably find a way to contact Dr. Lohm there as well. And thank you, my friend. It's always delightful to be with you.
It's a delight, and we thank God. Glory be to him.
Amen.
Thank you.
Listen Monday through Friday at this same time on The Bible Study. The Bible Study is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is needed for The Bible Study to continue. Our address is 85 Founders Lane, St. Louis, Missouri, 63105. You can contact us on the web at kfuo.org. Download programs from the Bible Study Archives at KFUO.org. The Bible Study is underwritten by Concordia Seminary, St. Louis.